So we're going to entertain a debate and on the role of incremental dialysis in the hemodialysis population. And the argument in favor of that is going to come from Dr. Kamyar Kalantarzada, who is the chief of nephrology at UC Irvine. He will then be challenged by Dr. Charles Chazot from Tucson. Cam has, you got 30 minutes, and it depends on how we go, Cam. He may have to rush out as well, so we'll see how we deal with that. Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Such a great pleasure and honor to be here. Now, this is the last session before the launch, Dr. Chazot and I, we're going to try our best to make it on time, timely, since we are 25 minutes behind the schedule, yet at the same time to make it exciting and stimulating. So hopefully I can adhere to that. So are we trying to see who is winning or losing? Okay, so this is the slides. I would like to remind colleagues that World Kidney Day is in March. Since I'm in the steering committee of the World Kidney Day, I started being part of that with 2016 children and kidney disease, and then obesity and kidney disease. Last year was kidney health in women or women's health and kidney, and this year, 2019, is about universal access to kidney health. So please remember March 14, Thursday, celebrate, acknowledge World Kidney Day, wherever you are, increase education and awareness. So 120,000 people in the United States start dialysis every year. As you know, 80 to 85,000 die, 15,000 get transplant. So at the end, the net increase is around 15 to 20,000. So every year, 15 to 20,000 is the net balance. Because 120,000 is again start, but so many people also are not around anymore. And this is what you see the trend over the past 15 years. I'd like to share with you this. This is not EKG. This is actually seasonal variation of transition to dialysis. This is very important. I'm always surprised that industry has not yet paid enough attention. That QRS that you see is actually January, February, March. The highest transition in the past 15 years, every January, February, March is the highest, and the lowest is June, July, August, transition to dialysis. So industry, yourself, medical directors, you need to be ready that your dialysis units could have overflow or a lot of some of these issues. Now, most of these patients who transition to dialysis, they have eGFR below 25. There's almost nobody above 25. As you know, so between 15 to 25 is the gray zone. And then I use the keyword transition. And this is the talk that I also gave partially to some extent during the ASN. If you were there during the ASN, please consider this as a rerun of the nice movie that you liked it so much. You're going to watch it one more time. And each time you watch the movie, it looks nicer. So now, why am I using the keyword transition? Because dialysis should not be started. For the past 18 years or 15 years, until 3 years ago, I was starting people on dialysis, and I noticed how wrong I am. Because my children do not start adulthood. They transition to adulthood. Why should dialysis be started? Why should I dialyze Mr. Smith today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and then send it to FMC or DaVita or US Renal to start, to continue dialysis? Why not transition? Now, with start, we have always this problem. Should we start patients early? Should we start patients late? Should we start or not start? And then with the, as you can see, this is also about transition. Then some patients are transitioning to preemptive transplant, transition back to dialysis. So a lot of transitions happen in our field. Transition is very important. And after 35 or 45 years, I would say that we still have no idea who should be started on dialysis. If we don't know after 45 years, 50 years of dialysis in this country and around the world, then maybe start of dialysis is wrong. Maybe we should gradually transition people to dialysis. If we don't know what is the best format, especially in the age of precision medicine, precision ESRD, precision medicine in end-stage renal disease. Did you know that mortality is the highest in the first 6 months? How often have you started a patient on dialysis and within the 6 months, within the first 2 months, patient was dead? So these are consistent data, even in Japan, because also in Japan, they start patients on dialysis of transitioning them to dialysis. Higher cost, this is also something related to our business as well as other implications. Best timing, as I said, the discussion, ongoing discussion for the past 45 years, early versus late when the dialysis is about to start. Whereas when I tell the patients I'm going to gradually give you dialysis, maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, they are more receptive. Transition to of elderly, for example, that is another good question. Instead of going after end of life, no dialysis versus dialysis, just consider that also a transitional dialysis for old people. Transition across race, ethnicity, this is, for example, something that is quite sensitive because, in my opinion, African Americans, they benefit from earlier dialysis. Why? Because they live longer on dialysis as compared to non-African Americans. This is about United States. Transition, residual kidney function, it breaks my heart that we, the same nephrologist like me, when I go to the PD clinic, I see my 20-plus PD patients, I always ask them, are you still making urine, how much urine you make, and so on, and document it. And then 30 minutes later, I do hemodialysis rounds, and I couldn't care less how much urine they make. Right? Have you ever noticed in yourself? Why? What kind of bad culture is that? That has been involved with our practice. So now, residual kidney function, there was a one-hour talk about this during the ASN, how to preserve residual kidney function in hemodialysis patients. And these are things, so it's a one-hour talk, I'm just showing you one slide, and here, the therapeutic options you have to prolong residual kidney function, ACE inhibitors, ARBs, Lasix, furosemide, high doses, give 200 to 500 milligrams, the same way that I used to do in Germany, very high doses. But today I'm going to talk about this one, starting patients on less than thrice weekly dialysis and preserving residual kidney function. Why is it important? Because residual kidney function is key to survival, especially in the first year. If you would like to have more patients, if you would like to live up with the promise that you are going to transition to dialysis and going to live longer, and your husband, your wife, your father is going to do great. So focus on preserving residual kidney function. Now, with that comes here, in 2012, 6 years ago, I put an editorial in Renal and Urology News. It's actually very popular, as you know, among nephrology, among 10,800 board-certified, including many practicing nephrologists. They always read this and email me, and some of them were very enthusiastic. They emailed me that, wow, that's amazing. How do you come up with this? And some of them said, wow, are you something wrong with you? Why are you talking about this? So it was amazingly good number of emails and feedback came to me. And then I called Dr. Chris Black in Seattle. He's one of the legends of the early days of dialysis, 1960s. And he told me that dialysis at that time was only twice a week, but it was long. And then, so essentially, as you can see here, dialysis started as twice weekly. Then they were struggling, maybe it should be more, it should be less. They were rushing into the U.S. Congress in 1971, 72. If you remember, that was during Nixon era. And then they decided, a group of wise nephrologists, they were tired, they were fed up with these death committees in Seattle and other places. Said, let's go to U.S. Congress, let's ask for the first time in the history of the United States that everything be covered, the first and so far last socialist medicine, and let's ask for 3 times a week dialysis so that at least we get coverage for 2x a week dialysis. And U.S. Congress and the then President Nixon, they all agreed, so dialysis became 3 times a week. Now that's the version, simplified version, why dialysis 3 times a week. There has never been any trial why dialysis should be 3 times a week. What shouldn't be more or less, right? Now, again, when we go to peritoneal dialysis, we talk all the time about the importance of transitioning to PD. The good PD doctors, good nephrologists, they always start PD gradually. In fact, if you don't, you should do this. Now, if you look at here, infrequent, initially we call this in 2012 infrequent or infrequent actually, or less frequent dialysis, and we notice that that could probably be somewhat antagonizing towards our colleagues who are doing frequent dialysis. And we said that it's smoother, so now we don't call it infrequent, we call it incremental, because it means that twice weekly dialysis is not forever, it's just at the start, the first few weeks or months, or maybe 1 or 2 years. And it's, for a variety of reasons, the last one I put cost saving, but that's also a matter of debate, cost saving to who? To the government versus dialysis providers versus joint ventures, so that's a matter of debate. But I would argue that it's actually also is consistent with the business. Not only it's good ethically, it's also good across so many different angles. Now, look at this. Frequent dialysis. So these are the extreme of, or the opposites, I shouldn't say extreme. They themselves, to their credit, Dr. Dagirdas, who is here, they published this 4 years ago that frequent dialysis, the more frequent dialysis is, the faster you lose residual kidney function. Right? So the opposite of this is the less frequent you dialyze, the slower you lose residual kidney function. We have not had that clinical trial. That clinical trial has been struggling for the past 4 years. Everybody criticizes and I'm hoping that actually in Spain, in Argentina, and some other countries, they started already twice weekly versus thrice weekly. In the United States, it's very difficult. It's very challenging to run that trial. Now, look at the other one. Frequent hemodialysis increases the risk of vascular access. Well, are you surprised? It's rocket science? No. The more you stick somebody's arm, the more likely, right, the more frequently, the more likely that it has damage. And if you do it only twice a week, of course that vascular access is going to stay longer. So twice weekly dialysis, this was an international meeting in India we had. Why in India? Because as you know, in India and China, twice weekly dialysis is still quite frequent. Even in 2018, with the rise of dialysis industry in India and China, they're also under pressure to do the so-called center of care twice weekly. And the criteria that came out and has never been tested is number one and two. That means patient needs to make at least half a liter of urine. And that has to be watched. And then we added another nine criteria. We said that 4 out of those 9 criteria they need to hold, such as potassium being within normal range, no fluid gain more than 2 or 2.5 kilograms between 2 dialysis sessions, and that all of these need to be plus half a liter of urine a day or KRU above 3. And these should be checked every month, or quarterly at least, but every month. What does K-Doki says? Dr. Dagirdas 2 years ago reminded me that 2006 K-Doki already in the U.S. said that if your KRU is above 3, KRU is not quite eGFR, right? It's urea clearance. But if it's above 3 ml per minute, you do not have to start thrice weekly. And the last K-Doki of 2015 never questioned that principle, and Dr. John Dagirdas said that anything that was there and was not changed remains, holds, is valid. So therefore, we keep that. You should, if you want to consider it as a K-Doki rules. So these are papers, there have been over 120 papers on twice weekly dialysis just in the past 4 years. Not all of them are by our group because we practice. We not only do research on twice weekly dialysis, we also practice it. We call it Orange County model. And this is, for example, one editorial that some of our colleagues in Belgium, they were so angry that they mentioned that twice weekly dialysis, that even talking about this is not allowed because it's dangerous. So the defenders of center of care are always everywhere in the world, so not just in the U.S. And then this is a good example because Dr. Andrew Davenport from UK, who was against this initially, he switched side and he became a strong proponent, or a proponent, not necessarily strong. So that shows that essentially there is something to discuss and to consider. Twice weekly dialysis, so some of the data from China And I'm going to bypass this in the interest of time and just focus on data from the United States, from one of the Dallas companies. We found that around 1%, less than 1%, 0.5% of patients started dialysis twice weekly, and for a variety of reasons. Maybe patient negotiated with nephrologists, I don't want dialysis unless it's at only Mondays and Fridays, right? So it's 0.5%. So we focus on that 0.5% since we had this large number. So we managed to find a few thousand of those dialysis patients over the matter of years. And what we found that also, if you remember those good old days that FMC and DaVita used to pass out jars to measure residual kidney function, right? 24-hour urine. We used to call it 44-hour urine. Now it's called 24-hour urine. And then it turned out in blue that the rate of drop in residual kidney function over 1.5 years is slower in patients who are on twice weekly compared in red on twice weekly start. Does it make sense? Yes, of course. It all makes sense. So now if you look at here, what about mortality? Apparently mortality is higher if KRU is below 2 or below 1.5, but is the same if KRU is above 3 or is above 6. So that means if patient makes urine, so that's one of the questions that comes up. Is it good or bad for mortality? There is no black and white answer here. It all depends if patient makes urine or not. So twice weekly dialysis start is not for everybody. It's only for those who are eligible, who makes the qualification criteria. Now, these are also additional data from U.S. patients suggesting that patients who have higher residual kidney function, as here shown is KRU or clearance of urea, 1.5, 3, and 6 and above 6, the higher is KRU, the lower is mortality. That also makes sense, right? And different iterations. What was this one? This is essentially a paper suggesting that KT over V is associated with mortality. That question for 20 years, hemo study, everything, everybody was confused. Now, we have an answer for you that yes, the higher KT over V, the better survival. However, if patient makes urine, KT over V means nothing, none, zero. It's amazing, isn't it? That means finally, we know why some studies shows this, some studies shows that. Hemo and Adamek studies did not really separate who makes urine, who doesn't make urine. So making urine makes a lot of difference. And this is essentially to show that the higher is KRU, the lower is the association of mortality and KT over V. So that above KRU of above 3, there is no association, and KRU of below 1, then KT over V determines survival of these patients. All right, so treatment frequency. So that's something that our frequent dialysis colleagues don't like it at all, because we looked at patterns of transition or starting dialysis, incremental, as you can see, conventional, incremental, means initially is twice weekly, and then over months, less and less patients are twice weekly, and more patients are thrice weekly. And conventional and frequent, that means 4 or 5 times a week. And it turned out that the highest mortality belonged to those who needed frequent dialysis, and the lowest mortality tended to be for those who start twice weekly. Of course, there may be bias here. It's not randomized because you guys or somebody decided that this patient is only twice weekly because the patient is more stable. So hence, we need clinical trials, simple, pragmatic clinical trials, if possible. So speaking of data from China, these are coming from Dubs colleagues. I'm going to bypass them. They all show that twice weekly dialysis is either same mortality or better survival. Now, what else? Here, UC Davis people did a very nice simulation, and they found that almost half of dialysis patients who start dialysis, they would qualify to be on twice weekly the first few weeks to months. So that was a very nice simulation. The next question, is urine output good enough? What if my patient says I make enough urine, so that's good enough? The answer is yes. According to this study actually suggests that urine output has poor association with KRU. At the same time, if you look at this study shows that urine volume of a dialysis patient does correlate with KRU. So if your patient says, doctor, I'm still making a lot of urine, even at night I wake up to go to bathroom, that's good enough for me to continue twice weekly. At any given time in our centers, we have three centers, we have 10 to 20 patients on twice weekly dialysis. The reason it's only 10 to 20 out of 150 in each center is because they also transition to thrice weekly, and then we start back newer patients, and we are conservative. Now, what is this? This is essentially something that Italians are trying, have been trying. Once a week dialysis with 6 days a week low-protein diet. So I'm going to bypass this because it's too early for U.S. It's not going to come to U.S. because we don't have that mentality of low-protein diet. But Japanese also, as the United States probably hopefully in 1 to 5 years goes back to the low-protein diet to protect kidneys and longevity and all those things. As we go to that era, if, for example, ESCO expands to integrated health, integrated kidney plan, then low-protein diet comes back. Then there's a room for us to sit down and discuss during the ESCO and future offsprings of ESCO if we should do that to them. It's once a week dialysis and 6 days a week low-protein diet. And some of this, actually, I mentioned in my... I was very privileged to be invited to write this review for about nutritional management of kidney disease and how we can combine these different styles. So in summary, this is what we do right now at the University of California, Irvine. This paper, essentially, this is a case series. Our first 10 to 15 patients who started or transitioned to twice weekly in 2012, and we looked at why they needed to transition to thrice weekly. And most of the time was because of volume management. Now, this one I learned from Indian colleagues and Chinese colleagues in Shanghai. Instead of starting two patients on thrice weekly, you can start three patients on twice weekly. That's how savvy our colleagues are in India and China, and we need to really learn from them. And if you have other patients here in the U.S., if you want to do precision medicine, individualized medicine, you can have patients on four times a week, five times a week. I have two patients on daily dialysis right now because both of them are pregnant. I have patients on four times a week, and I have patients that twice a week in the same dialysis shift. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, second shift, FMC Orange. And you're more than welcome to come and pay a visit to us. So, therefore, this is what we have been practicing. Start dialysis, and this is what we practice in Southern California, California model, Orange County model. First twice weekly, then thrice weekly, then maybe four times a week. And after 10 to 20 years, if patient lives long enough, maybe gradually patient wants less. So precision dialysis, precision medicine. So with that, I'm going to also mention some of these other combos. Now we are also combining HD and PD. We're doing PD on 3 days a week. So these are great things that we can do. And hopefully ESCO will allow us to practice more of these things. So in summary, transition of dialysis patients after 45 years have remained an unanswered territory. We still don't know who and how and when a patient needs or doesn't need dialysis to start. Hence, we suggest transition them to dialysis gradually. And in the U.S., currently twice weekly is somewhat acceptable. Hopefully, it's too early to talk about once a week. And we are hoping that we can preserve your kidney function and allow patients to live the longest. So with that, I would like to stop here and I appreciate and acknowledge colleagues in UCLA, UC Irvine, and other places. Thank you very much.